This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, and printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. We thank you for tuning in today and invite you to join us every Sunday for worship with us.
What would be your thoughts if someone from your congregation should tell you one day, "I have just received Jesus"? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, we hear the glorious gospel regularly. God has come into this world in the person of Jesus Christ and has forgiven us our sins and promised us life everlasting. We thank you also, O God, that you have empowered us to respond to that particular message. And so we pray today, as we listen to your word, we may give some special thinking to that matter of responding to all that Jesus has to offer us. In Christ's name, amen. Friends in Christ, today we continue our study of the paralytic who was healed by Jesus at the Pool of Bethesda. To refresh your memory of this text, let me read you the first 9 verses of the 5th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, where we read, "Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." When Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk," at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat, and he walked. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Sanctify us in your truth. Your word is eternally true. Amen. Today we continue our study of the paralytic who was healed by Jesus at the pool of Bethesda. To refresh your memory of this text, let me read again just a couple of verses where Jesus says, and this will be our main emphasis on the sermon today, "Pick up your mat and walk." And the man picked up his mat and walked. This is the actual healing of Jesus at the pool of Bethesda. The God who created this man and the God who saw him fall into sin was the God who was willing to heal him but called for a decision. Now, when I talk about healing in this sermon, my emphasis is going to be primarily on spiritual healing. For this man was not only physically sick, he was spiritually ill as well and needed a Savior. Most people believe that if they are going to live in a relationship with God, and that is if they're going to be spiritually healed, they must bring that about themselves. Their own good works makes them stand justified before God Almighty, is their conviction. This, I believe, for many a pastor, is one of the most frustrating responses that we get from sermons. We preach again and again that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. But over and over again, we hear people who listen to these sermons say, "I hope that I'm going to get to heaven." And when we further ask them why they're just hoping, they say, "Well, sometimes I feel that I have done things that I shouldn't have done." No thought about grace, no thought about the forgiveness of sin, just plain I'm going to earn my way to heaven. Nothing could be farther from the truth. If we go to heaven, it is because Jesus Christ has healed us of our sins, forgiven us, and brought us into a personal relationship with our Heavenly Father who is in heaven. Christ is the healer. Having said all of this and giving all the glory to God, we also have to deal with this particular subject that is in the Scriptures, where after God has offered us the gift of salvation, we must receive it. He provides a grace for that too, but there is a subjective place there where the will has to say, "Yes, Lord, I want you." And so today that's the appeal, and that's what I want to talk with you about. When Jesus says to this man, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk," he was asking him to respond and to do exactly what he said he would do. He is receiving the gift of healing which God gives to him. When God created a human being, the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 tells us that we were created in his image. Now that means that we have a mind with which we can think. God has a mind. We have a little peanut of a mind, but we have a mind. We can think. We are responsible people. God has given to us a will. He has a will, and his will is dominant. But he has a little will, and he has even said that from time to time, you can say no to me. And we often do. The freedom to reject the grace of God. We see that all around us. That's being created in the image of God. We have a soul. God is eternal. And our soul is eternal also. It will live from this day on. Now, according to the scriptures, the paralytic had been lying there for all of those years. And then one day, Jesus looked at him and said, "Get up and pick up your mat and walk." That is the point where Jesus is looking for a response. Empowered by God, that man in faith got up and walked. But he would also have had the right, the power, if he wanted to, from his own being, to say, "No, God, I'm not going to get up. I'm going to stay right here. I finally have come to like it here. I've adjusted to this. This is my lifestyle." But instead of that, inside of him, within his soul, there was a desire to respond positively to the Lord's work and his offering, the gift. Again, I say, while God is the creator and the healer, in this case, creating the human being in his image, the person had to respond. He could have rejected. Is a human being not a contributor, then, you'll say, to his salvation? And this is what some have said, no, he can't. All you can do is preach the gospel, and then it's out of your hands. You can make no appeal whatsoever, because the minute that that person gets up, he has made a contribution to his salvation, and then salvation is not by grace alone, but by grace plus the little bit that we have to accomplish. That is not what the scriptures are saying at all. Let me try to illustrate with a homely illustration that breaks down many, many a time. But let's say it's one hot July afternoon, and I come to visit you. You say, "Boy, it's awfully hot, but I got to get out there and mow that lawn." And out of the goodness of my heart, I say, "You know what? I'll go out and mow your lawn for you." "Oh, no, you shouldn't do that." "Yeah, I want to do that." So I go out there and mow the lawn. A couple hours later, I come in. And spread before me is the dinner. A gorgeous dinner with all kinds of wonderful food. This is payment, so to speak. I may not ask for any pay, but you want to give me something because I have mowed your lawn in this hot July afternoon. Now, in contrast to this, let's say that we get a telephone call and you ask us to come to your house for dinner. So my wife gladly accepts the invitation and we come. When the food is ready, you call us to the table and here is this great, great feast. We eat together. That is a gift. I have done nothing to deserve it. It is just a gift. Because you loved me, you offered me this food and a nice evening together. But I had to receive that food. You could have done all the preparing you wanted to. You could have bought the best meat that there was at the counter. But unless I want to take that meat and put it into my mouth, together with the rest of the dinner, it is not a gift to me. I have not accepted it. It is a gift, but not received. And therefore, it is no longer of any value to me. There comes a time when our Creator calls for a decision on our part. Now, he reveals his way of salvation to us in his word. Isn't it very clear? I'd like to just go over it. It's so brief. The way of salvation is clearly stated that first he created us in his image. He gave us a right to rebel and to say no. And our ancient fathers did that. They turned away from God and sin came into the world. When I was born, I inherited a sinful nature. I was not born good. I was born a sinner. So I too fell in sin, and that threw me out of a relationship with my Heavenly Father. But God in His love decided that, no, I'm going to offer this person a way back. And so He comes into this world in the person of Jesus Christ to save His Son. And Jesus at the cross dies for our sins. He is raised again. Full satisfaction has been made for all of our transgressions. And then He sends us out into the world. He inspires the biblical writers. He calls people to go as pastors and missionaries and witnesses of all kinds to all parts of this world to tell them that there is salvation for each and every one who will repent and believe. These are the proclaimed messengers that spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. He sends the Holy Spirit along with the Word, and that Word prepares me to receive, to empowers me to receive. But I still have the right to say no. He wants to enter into a personal relationship with me, and in order to do that, I must receive Christ as my Savior and my Lord. I often think of that great evangelist, Billy Graham, still living, of course, but not able to get out and have some of those great evangelistic revivals that he had. What did Billy do? His preaching was very simple. It was practically the same message night after night after night. He went over what I have just described to you, the way of salvation. And then he said to them kindly and in love, "You're lost. Outside of Jesus Christ, you're lost. But here is the opportunity. Now come and receive Him as Savior. Invite Him into your life." Billy was not saying in any way that they were contributing to their salvation. That was done at Calvary by Christ alone. But now that Christ offers this tremendous gift, wouldn't you like to receive Him? And then remember how he would plead. He'd say, "If you're way up there in the balcony and you're with friends, they'll wait for you. You come down." Now, he took the altar call as one of his means of getting to people. We don't do that in our church. That is not what I'm talking about so much today. Wherever you and I are, when we hear the voice of Jesus Christ speaking through that word, how can we remain indifferent to it? How can we let our minds go in all corners of the earth on something that seems to be more exciting to us when Jesus is calling us to come and receive Him? But we can, and we do. A necessary part of preaching is to extend that great invitation in one way or another. Because as far as I am concerned, that all of the audiences that I have preached to, there are those who yet have to receive Him. The miracle of being healed, even though they're good members of the church, and might even say, "Yes, I am saved," the great miracle of Christ coming into their life is yet before them. William Barclay in his commentary has said, "The miracle of being healed, whether it's at the pool of Bethesda or where life finds us, is when our human will, and the power of God cooperates and we say yes." Now you say, "Well, I don't know if I want to believe that or not." If you say, "I'm not going to believe it," that, of course, is your right to do. But then remember, you're not rejecting an old preacher. You're rejecting what is found in the Word of God. Read John 3:16. "For God so loved the world," that's the gospel, that's objective. This is what God has done, "that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. In other words, you see, there's a John 3:16a, what God has done, given His Son. There's a John 3:16b, that whoever believes in Him, He will empower us to believe. He will give us all the strength in the world. He'll work with us over the course of years. But there will have to come that day when I say to Jesus, "Yes, I want you as mine." He who believes, he is the one who enters into that personal relationship with God. Let's turn to John 11:30, where Jesus says to Martha, his friend, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies." In the first part of that verse, "I am the resurrection and the life. This is the gift that I give you. You too shall rise, and you shall live eternally in heaven, if you believe in me." You see the response that is absolutely necessary? Turn to St. Paul in his letter to the Romans, chapter 10, verse 9. "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you are saved." In other words, to make it as simple as I possibly can, and being very repetitive today, the gospel is that Jesus died for our sins. The response is, "I receive you, Jesus," and that through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't question the Holy Spirit's power to be with us, but I have a real concern. I have a concern that many people in our churches have never invited Jesus Christ into their life. Never have they accepted His invitation. They simply go there. They hear the gospel. They're good people. They're faithful church members and all the rest. But they yet have to know the Savior. Our friend, don't be misunderstood. Don't say, "I hope I'm going to get to heaven," if you really know you are. If you know you are, then tell the story, and tell it in such a way that the people will know that Jesus Christ is all of that for you. Do we feel that we're asking, that Jesus is asking something of us to contribute to our salvation? Not at all. As we have already said, the decision is simply to become the recipients of God's most tremendous love. I just recently read a statement from a book, The Preacher and the President, on Billy Graham. You know, he made that appeal, and often people would not believe it. He talks about his time with Nixon. And one day he wrote him a letter. "Well, I know you have a personal and private commitment, yet many are happy and praying that you will state it publicly." We need to state it publicly. So what do you say if somebody has said, "I've received the Lord"? Smile at him and say, "Tell me about it. Isn't it a joyous time?" The cripple was healed because he responded. You and I can be spiritually healed when we respond to the gospel's message. Amen. into our hearts, into our hearts. Come into our hearts, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into our hearts, Lord Jesus. Amen.
You have been listening to Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. May God's richest blessings be with you this coming week. If you are searching for a meaningful gift for a loved one, please consider a gift to Christian Crusaders in their name. An honorarium can be made in any amount and helps us to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to thousands of listeners across the country each week. Please direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. You still think about well-loved Bible stories you first heard as a child? Well, many of us remember the story of Zacchaeus, the dishonest tax collector whose life was changed when he met Jesus. In Volume 2 of his DVD video sermon collection, Basic Biblical Truths, Reverend Larson uses this story to emphasize that we can become new people when Jesus comes into our lives and offers us the gift of forgiveness. If you would like to consider this story's impact in your own life, please order A Life Is Changed for a suggested donation of $10 by calling our office at 1-888-693-2484. You may also order on our website at christiancrusaders.org. To request a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth continuously since 1936.